Amper Bliss, author of Lesbian Fiction, and I'm her missus. Thank you for listening to our podcast where we try to talk about our journey in writing and publishing.
But we usually get sidetracked by television or our cat.
Meow.
Welcome to Harper Bliss and her missus. Hello everyone, this is episode 39 of
Harper Bliss
and her missus.
We're recording this on Tuesday, 16 July 2019.
Hello.
Hello.
How are we?
I was just startled by your enthusiasm with which you tackled the intro.
Well,
I wasn't expecting it.
Tried something new.
Because I asked before we started, do you have your energy? And you said maybe.
Well, apparently I do.
Yes, you do.
Well, at least for the intro.
Yes.
It's all downhill from here now.
I still haven't listened to the previous podcasts gauge our energy levels.
Yes, you have to get on that quickly.
I know. I never listen to podcasts anymore.
No.
Not even our own.
I know.
Except Fee and Jane.
Yes. Fee and Jane, we cannot miss that.
But we can now miss Desert Island Discs forever.
Yeah, because the sad news of, I think, it last week is that Kirsty Young is not coming back ever.
I knew it when she first announced. It's like I had the feeling.
I'm sad.
I was really sad about it.
Like, me too.
I really felt it in my heart and in my soul. She's the best.
I know.
And I mean, I don't want to diss the new one too much, but it's just not the same.
But maybe she will, you know, develop as a presenter and maybe it will become
She should be quite developed already.
Well, she's only been doing it for a few months.
This program, but she's been on the radio forever.
Well, yes, but I mean, every program is different.
Yes.
Every program has a different tone.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm sure I will still listen to some episodes if the guests... is someone I really want to hear from, but when it was Kirsty, I didn't care who the guest was. I just wanted to hear Kirsty, and I knew she would make the guest interesting, except for Debbie Harry. That's the only one I found disappointing, but
yes.
It had nothing to do with Kirsty. It was Debbie Harry.
It was a big disappointment.
Yes.
Because we've always loved Debbie Harry, but she was impossible to interview, and I felt so sorry for Kirsty.
Yes, I mean...
I said, Kirsty, interview me instead of Debbie Harry.
Yes.
Now I can never be on Desert Island Discs interviewed by Kirsty Young.
No, but there have been many people saying, and I'm sure it might happen, is that Kirsty Young could be a guest on Desert Island Discs now, since she's no longer a presenter, and I would definitely listen to that.
It would be bittersweet, but... not any of the previous presenters have been guests.
No, I think there have been.
Who?
I think Roy Plumley was a guest.
Because he invented the show.
So I mean, maybe.
But Sue Lawley hasn't been on. I think.
I don't think so.
And if she had been on, that would give me hope.
Maybe Michael Parkinson has been on because he was only a presenter briefly, but he has a big career. Anyway. Let's hope. At the moment,
I have no hope. I just have Kirsty sadness.
Oh, I'm sure you will get over it.
Yeah, maybe. But we still have plenty of Kirsty episodes to listen to in the archive. I mean, she did it for more than 10 years.
Yes.
So there's plenty of episodes we haven't listened to yet. So that's good.
Yes, that is a consolation.
Yes. I mean, one day we will run out, but the day is not coming anytime soon.
No. So
we will live in the past.
Yes, so, yeah, we will have to remember Kirsty fondly. Hopefully she will do something else at some point.
Yeah, we were talking with Astrid van Ilve that, you know, we were talking about audiobooks, and I think they have an audiobook, a book set in Scotland that's going to be recorded by a Scottish narrator, because I mean, what does it? It's the Scottish accent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to write a book set in Scotland, and it needs to be so popular that Kirsty Young wants to narrate it.
Okay, it's a challenge.
At the moment, we cannot afford her.
No, probably not.
Definitely not.
But yeah, no, that would be
so
a good
I
career
wonder what
trench.
She's gonna do, or maybe she'll just stop working altogether.
Yes.
See, this is how I feel about it.
Yes. Trouble has just come into the office.
Yes, it's a bit of it's an issue.
Yes.
It might be an issue.
Yes, we'll see.
Anyway, we should maybe stop talking about Kirsty now.
Yes, but she's always, you know, she's a big part of our lives.
She is. especially after a holiday,
yeah,
when all we've been doing is listening to Desert Island Discs in the car.
Yeah. But apart from that, we went away this weekend.
Yes. I mean, I know I put it in the recap of the week because it's what we did, but I don't think we should spend a lot of time talking about it.
No, but we did discover a little corner of our country that we didn't know, and that is really pretty.
It was really pretty.
It's in the west, close to the French border, but in the Flemish part, and it's called the West Corner, that area.
Oh, it is.
The bigger area is called the Westhoek, the West Corner. So it's the area where there are a lot of military cemeteries from World War One.
Oh, yes.
So we went to visit a few of those, but it's just really pretty because it's quite hilly, which is even though it's pretty close to the coast and a lot of our country is really flat and boring, but that part is a bit hilly, so it's pretty.
Oh, it was a very nice piece of countryside.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We went for a walk.
Yes.
A couple of walks.
A lot of beer. We drank so much beer that on Sunday we said, okay, only wine from now on.
Which they also produce in that region.
And it was good.
A very nice Pinot Gris. Yeah. Very tasty.
It was actually quite surprising.
Yeah. So, Belgian wine. There are some good ones.
Who knew?
Who knew, yeah.
We are known for our beers.
But
we have so many beers. There must be a million Belgian beers.
Well,
and I know I exaggerate.
Yes.
But a million seems a lot, but I think it might be pretty close.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think that is a bit too much.
How many would you say?
I would go more in the tens of thousands.
No. 200,000 minimum.
Well, I shall Google this and maybe on the next podcast we can, you know, see the conclusion. Who was closer to the right answer? Anyway.
I see in my notes that Evernote has auto-corrected something that I wrote.
Oh, yes. So,
because I want to talk about my new series that I started and, I mean, the working title, but this will not be the end title, although, you know, now that I've said it, it might as well. It probably will be.
No.
But the working title is Les Law, but my Evernote changed it to Liz Law. It always changes Les to Liz.
Well, yes, it's a bit homophobic, I suppose. Your Evernote.
It's because I spell it with a Z.
Yeah.
Also, I have a character named Liz in my new series.
Yes, maybe it picked up on that.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us a little bit about the new series?
Yes, it's The L Word Meets The Good Wife.
Wow.
Yeah, basically, that's my premise.
Because
mm-hmm. when I was writing French Kissing, I have a bit of a... Well, I wouldn't call it a plot twist, but it is something, you know, plotty. I don't know how to say it. And I remember that I enjoyed writing that so much. I said, I need more plot twists. I need more... I write romance. It's always, you know... There's not a lot of room for plot twists, but in French Kissing there is. But I mean, I didn't want to write another French Kissing. I wanted to write something set in the US
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like make it really commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And also easy to narrate for narrators, because I saw in an Audible review from French Kissing 5, I love Abby Crayton, but she should never be giving French things to pronounce, which is, you know, I mean, it's hard. For an American to pronounce French things, I said, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to make it very easy for maybe Abby Crayden, I don't know, to pronounce.
So, yes, that's exciting.
Oh, it's very exciting. Because
you're still at the beginning of it, so it's still very fresh and exciting.
Yes, I'm still in the honeymoon phase.
So it's going to be... Plot driven, a lot of plots, but also different characters.
My three keywords are hotness, plot twists, and strong women.
Ah, yeah, okay.
It's gonna be much more plot driven than usual, though. But of course, also very character driven, because.
Yes. And there might be a cliffhanger also.
Oh, there will. Yes, there. Well, I don't want to say too much about that, but.
But it'll be in the same vein as French Kissing in that, you know, you want people to want to continue reading and read the next one and be, you know, hanging to the edge of your lips, I was going to say, but, you know.
That's a new expression you just invented.
You know, to be really invested in it and for it to be exciting and a bit unpredictable.
Yes, I want it to be unpredictable and... You just spilled your tea on your clean blouse.
Oh, damn it.
For Christ's sake. No, I wanted to be... I mean, for me, while writing it, I want to have the most fun I've had in years while writing something. And when I can achieve that, I think the reader will enjoy it.
Yes, I'm sure they will.
I want it to be unputdownable.
Okay, unputdownable. Good word, that.
Yes.
Unputdownable.
And I already thought of some things, but most things come to me as I write.
Yeah.
So, but I'm very excited about it, just to start something new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, my initial idea is it's going to be a trilogy. And the three books should come out not too long after each other. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there might be some friction at the end of book one.
Yes.
Well, yes, so I already have a big thing planned for that.
Oh, okay.
But I don't want to make too much of it because, you know, things might change.
Yes.
But yeah.
But hopefully the readers will be able to enjoy this in the latter part of the year.
Yes.
We will keep you posted with updates.
Yes. It's set in New York. I can tell you that.
Yes.
So it's very American.
Yes. Well, speaking of the inspiration for this series, yesterday we watched the very last episode of The Good Wife. So we've watched it all.
It was a good episode, though.
The best part being the slap.
When Diane slapped Alicia, oh, that felt so good. Because honestly, I mean, there's all these rumors that Juliana, Margulies, it was impossible on set. And I don't know if that spilled over into my consciousness while I was watching it. But at the end, I was so sick of Alicia, which, I mean, I guess it's normal because it's all Alicia all the time.
Well, she is the title character.
Yes,
so.
I was so sick of her and that slap. And especially because it was Diane who slapped her and it was so deserved. I thought the last episode, it was a worthy last episode, because season 6 was pretty bad, and then in season 7, I think because they knew it was going to be the very last one, they just said, oh, fuck it, let's just do whatever we want. But they do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. And I mean, there's so much intrigue in a law firm. I said, okay, well, why don't I just, you know, put my lesbians in a law firm, and then I can have so much intrigue and plot twists and stuff. drama.
Yes.
It's supposed to out-drama French kissing.
That'll be difficult.
Yes, but it's going to be, I mean, there will be a bit more emphasis on the professional. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want it to just be romance. Not that French kissing is not that either. I mean, there's a
lot
political,
of politics and stuff.
Yeah, so...
That's what makes it fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, for you and for the readers, that there's another aspect to it, and you can have these political plot twists, even though in a romance, you know, you always have to arrive at the same ending where the characters are happy together, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah,
I don't
fun.
Even know who all my characters are going to end up with. I do know one couple, and I think even you might not even suspect it.
Ooh.
Although you might have read it in my notes, because I let you read my notes.
I did read your notes, but I mean, there are quite a few characters, so I would need to read them again.
Many characters.
So yeah, that's very exciting.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes.
I think so.
And what's exciting about finishing The Good Wife is that we can now start rewatching The Good Fight.
Oh, yes.
Which is even better.
The Good Fight. There's only 10 episodes per season, though.
Yes.
So I think we will finish this by the end of July.
Or maybe we can pace ourselves.
No. Because what's so fun is we used to watch The Good Wife every week. So it was a weekly show over 7 years. But it was really fun to watch the whole, to binge. I mean, it did take us some time, but to watch all the episodes after one another quickly. Because mm-hmm. then you can really see like the progression. And then you say, oh, look, Diane is falling in love with Kurt. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
It was just so much fun.
So now, yeah, okay. So there's some Good Fight binging in our immediate future.
Yes, I think even in about half an hour. But I do want to, like, I wrote my village romance contribution, A Lesson in Love, which is a very straightforward romance. I mean, it's age gap, but, you know, that's also straightforward. And, I mean, it was all about a romance, and I thought, and I just come off of writing French Kissing 5, which is a lot more than romance. So I thought, you know, what do I want to do next?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could have written book 10 in the Pink Bean series, but that was going to be a straightforward romance again. I thought, I want to do something a little bit different. It's summer, let's try something a little bit different. I mean, it's still a romance. Also, I got a comment in a review for French Kissing 5, not enough sex.
Oh.
Yeah. So someone said, where is all the sex? And it's true, they used to have a lot more sex, not in season 4, but in the first couple of seasons, that's all they did. Which makes sense, because when I started writing French Kissing, I was basically still like mostly an erotica writer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was crossing over. But I think I'm going to have to put some more sex in. But it doesn't come that natural to me anymore when writing.
But you have to put sex in where it fits the story and where it makes the story progress.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm sure there will be some, but you shouldn't, you know, force sex into it where no sex is needed for the story.
That's true.
Otherwise, it comes over as gratuitous.
Yeah.
So and you're never going to please everybody.
No, that's true. But I do think, I mean, it needs to be hot.
Well, yes, but of course. But I mean, if you know, I think it's probably better to have a few really hot sex scenes than many not so hot sex scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know there is a limit to how much hotness one can bring in sex scenes as a writer.
Yeah, especially you can get bored of because you know, these books are not going to be like super long. So I can't have that many sex scenes, because then the book will be full. And I need room for my plot twists.
Yes.
And my drama.
Yes.
And my intrigue. And my betrayal.
Betrayal.
There was a betrayal in French Kissing 5, and I actually really enjoyed writing that. So I thought, I really want to do some more of this.
Mm-hmm.
So and being, you know, an indie writer, I said, fuck it, I'm just going to do it now.
Well, yes, you can choose your own destiny.
Well, not always. Yes, that's true.
Why I said it like that?
That was very philosophical. But that's like long term, because like, you know, I always have like next projects lined up.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, oh, fuck it, I'm pushing all the other projects I have lined up to, I don't know, to the side or to whenever. I'm writing this now. And that was fun.
That's good.
Yeah, because I actually hadn't even properly finished my Cotswolds book yet.
Which is now about properly finished.
Yes.
So, and should be out at the beginning of August.
It will be out. It will be out at the beginning of August.
Yes.
But in between Claire Lydon's book.
Yes.
What's that one called again?
A Taste of Love.
A Taste of Love. TB's is A Shot at Love. Yes. Mine is A Lesson in Love.
Yes.
Can't say we're not consistent title-wise.
Well, you know, it's a series. That's the whole point.
Yes.
So what exciting event do we have coming up in our nearby future?
Oh, the most, for me, it's the most exciting day of the year. I mean, maybe for other people it's Christmas or something like that, or their birthday, but for me, this is the best
21st
day.
Of July?
21st of July, which is the national
holiday. It's the, you know, when we commemorate the independence of Belgium.
It's like
the
creation our 4th of July.
Yeah, like the 4th of July for Belgium, or the 14 juillet for Belgium.
Yes. And then on a big square in the center, they host a big sing-along.
Yes.
And there's a choir of 80-year-old olds on the stage. And then when you arrive, you get a booklet with all the lyrics to the songs, which I find very important, because how else can you sing along?
Mm-hmm. And it has songs in all the languages of the country. So
plus
in French
English.
And Dutch, plus English.
Not so much in German.
No,
though.
But it's just a big party.
And then everyone just sings along, and it is the most fun you can possibly imagine, because it's not the same as karaoke, because that puts you under pressure to sing in front of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Although we have had karaoke's where we all sing together, and that has always been the most fun.
Yes.
And it's just, it's very cathartic.
Yes.
And then the day after, I'm just completely empty. So I'm going to have to take next Monday off.
Yes. So we won't be recording the podcast on Monday, because we probably won't have a voice.
Well, we never record on Monday anyway.
No.
But maybe my voice will be back on Tuesday.
Hopefully.
But I'm not someone who loses her voice very often.
Okay.
Actually, never.
Okay. So
I've never lost my voice, which you may regret.
Maybe I should record you on Sunday, and then we can put a little clip in the podcast. Well, no, because then we'd have to pay, you know, rights, copyright to have the song in there. And anyway,
maybe a snippet.
We'll see.
I will pick my song.
But it's always big fun. So
even you enjoy it.
Oh yeah, I enjoy
Everybody
it.
Enjoys
yeah.
it. There's nobody who doesn't enjoy it.
No. The evening before, there's a ball on the same square with dancing and stuff, so we might go to that as well.
Yes, but I did see in the weather app that there's a huge thunderstorm expected for the Saturday.
Well, we'll see.
I have to check, because I mean, if this thunderstorm were to be postponed until Sunday, I would be very sad. I will be cursed this level sad.
Okay. Well, we will go rain or shine. We'll put on our raincoats and we will go sing.
Even if it's just us on the square, we will sing.
Yes. Okay. I think maybe we can wrap it up for this week.
Your voice sounds as though it's already gone.
I'm practicing to have a sultry, broken voice for next week.
Okay.
So we'll be back next week.
Yes, we will be. But you saying that just reminded me of something I just read in the newspaper about Katie Lang going on tour with her breakthrough album, which during the promotion tour she came out as a lesbian 25 years ago, Ingenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if she were to come to Belgium, I'd go and see that.
Oh, okay.
Because I read a review. She was in Hull, I think, in the UK, and it was really good.
I can check it out.
She's a lesbian icon.
See if she's performing
anywhere. Because one of the things they write in every article about Katie Lang is a quote by Madonna, who said, "Elvis is alive and she's beautiful." Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So that alone makes me want to go see.
Okay.
Well, makes me want to go lesbian.
Let's see if we can make it happen.
Let's go lesbianing.
Okay, let's go lesbianing. On that note,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Harper Bliss and Her Misses. You can find all the episodes and show notes at harperblissandhermisses.com.
We also have a favor to ask.
If you could rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to it, that would help other people find us.
Thank you.